Dearly beloved, let's open our Bibles as we study the Word of God now, and let's excuse our kids for creche. And our study brings us back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and our focus this morning is on this beatitude in verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray as we approach God. Lord, we thank you for your powerful word. We thank you. We have been so encouraged with the songs, with the testimony that Lori gave of your work there in PNG. Thank you, dear Lord, for the ministry of our teens today. Please bless them, even as we continue to serve you in the evening service. May you be the center of our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So, dearly beloved, we continue with our study with the third beatitude this morning. The first one was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And now we're going to focus ourselves on this third one, which is highlighting meekness. Meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, a little bit of a review of the word blessed. This is again mentioned 9 times in this passage. And the Greek word here is makarios. The Latin word is beatus, where we get the English word beatitude. And we said that makarios is the word which specially describes deity. In other words, this kind of blessedness, this kind of joy is godlike. It is described that it is a joy that is untouchable, serene, self-contained. That joy which is completely independent of all the chances and changes of life. The synonyms of this word are fortunate, prosperous, and blissful. It is not just mere happiness, dearly beloved. Mere happiness is that thing that which is dependent on the chances, the changes, and even the chaos that life may bring. That's not blessedness. Blessedness implies an inner satisfaction and sufficiency that did not depend on outward circumstances like happiness. Happiness is divine. Happiness is deeper. It's more meaningful than just happiness, than just mere surface emotion. The state of blessedness is not found in circumstances nor achieved through conduct. This is God-given in Jesus Christ. In other words, the person who is blessed in Christ is a kind of person who exhibits true joy, untouchable joy, so that nothing can take away this kind of joy. Whether there's challenges, or whether there's accolades, whether they are in the valleys of life or in the mountains of life, whether it's sunny or it's stormy, the joy of a Christian is untouched. It cannot be taken away. That is why we discovered that part of the definition of the word blessed is to be envied. Indeed, dearly beloved, if you have this kind of joy, you are envied by everyone. Because the reality is, every person on earth would like to be blessed. Every one of us would like to be joyful. I don't think anyone would like to be discouraged, to be down, to be sad. We want all to be blessed and have that perfect peace and joy. But the world will never find true joy, true blessedness, because they are looking in the wrong places. So, dearly beloved, when Jesus Christ preached, blessed are the meek, he's talking about the Christians. He's talking about the kingdom citizens. He's talking about those who are found in Christ. So, what does Christ say here? Who are the blessed ones? Excuse me. He said, blessed are the meek. Oh, this study is really interesting, dearly beloved. When I look at the word meek, it's the Greek word praios. Praios. It's only mentioned four times in the New Testament. The first one, of course, here is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the praios. The second one is found in the same book, Matthew 11, verse 29. Where Jesus Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am praios. That's the word gentle in English. For I am praios, gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So this part of the verse that Jesus Christ mentions the word praios, gentle, he's trying to comfort those who need rest. And he says that he himself is the gentle, the praios, Messiah. The one who can really give true rest. The third appearance of the word praios in the New Testament is in Matthew 21, verse number 5. The verse says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Praios, or lowly, is the English translation there, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, and foal of a donkey. So this verse that we have here is actually a prophetic verse. It's a quotation from two verses from Isaiah 62:11 and Zechariah 9:9. One author said, the main prophetic aspect is that Zechariah describes the promised king coming to the people of Jerusalem in humility and sitting on a donkey. Not a horse. A donkey. A humble animal. Zechariah specifies that the animal is a colt, a young foal of donkey or beast of burden, and Jesus will enter Jerusalem riding on that colt, likely with a full-grown donkey along for the comfort of the young one. Zechariah is describing the arrival of the King of the Jews in a humble way, in a lowly way, praios. The third usage of the word, or the fourth, is that one by Peter. Peter chapter 1 Peter 3, verse number 4. And this one, Peter says, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a praios, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. This section of 1 Peter talks about godly wives. Godly wives. And this is an exhortation for godly wives to submit to their own husbands. One of the characteristics of a godly wife is that she's gentle, she's meek, she's praios, submissive to their husbands. Now, so as we look at these four verses where this word praios appears, we are reminded again that the same as the rest of the Beatitudes, blessedness comes from being. Jesus Christ being gentle, being meek. The godly wives being gentle, being meek, being submissive. It's not about doing. It's about being. Blessed are, remember, the poor in spirit. Not those who will be poor in spirit. No, they are already poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Not that those who will be mourning or those who will try to mourn, nor those who are already mourning. And thirdly here, blessed are the meek. Not that those who will still be meek someday, those who are trying to be meek. No, those who are already meek, blessed are they. Again, these things describe the kingdom citizens. These characteristics speak of the Christians, those in Christ. And because they are these, they are blessed. It is not about demeanor. Not how we try to act, to be like, but a disposition. This is who we are. So praios, dearly beloved, is the key word here. Now, let me go first to what it is not. Because when the word meek is mentioned, we have a lot of pictures in our mind going around. And we're saying praios is not faint-heartedness, no. It is not spineless kind of timidity, no. It is not the inability to get angry, no, because a meek man can be angry, a meek woman can be angry, but in a righteous way. Also, meekness here, praios, is not weakness. So what does praios mean? Blessed meekness. biblical meekness is not weakness, but rather refers to exercising God's strength under control. It is demonstrating power without undue harshness. That's meekness. In fact, the English term meek, often, one author said, lacks this blend of gentleness, reservation, and strength. Sometimes we overemphasize the gentleness, right? When you think of meekness, we overemphasize the gentleness there. But no, there should be a perfect blend between two things in meekness: the gentleness part and the strength part. Bill Klein says, the worldview of meekness is often misunderstood and mistaken for passivity and docility. However, it is not a weak but a heroic quality. It is a virtue that can be exercised both towards God and towards man and involves self-control. The basic element of meekness derived from its root meaning is equilibrium. Balance, the full and complete possession of all the faculties of one's being. It's an inner mastery. So let's look deeply more into meekness. First, let's look at meekness and our salvation. Because we're saying, blessed are the meek. And we're said this refers to the Christian, those who have been saved. So the word used here is the word used by the Greeks to describe a wild stallion that had been broken. The English often use the term meeking the horse. Have you heard of this term? Those who love horses? Meeking the horse. Now, meeking a horse did not mean to strip the power from a horse, but rather, you take a wild horse who's running about uncontrolled. He does whatever he wants in the forest, in the field, in the wilderness. He jumps, he gallops, he goes to the water. He does whatever he wants. Nobody can control him. That's the horse. It's powerful. But you take that horse. And you don't strip the power from that horse, no. But what you do is you harness that power. You harness the power of a horse from a state of wild independence to one of loyalty so that the horse could be used as the master of the horse intended. So that when the horse or the stallion has been meeked, has been trained, that horse now can be used in the farm, can be used in the Olympics, where now a rider can get onto the horse. And with that power of the horse under control, they can go through all of the things the horse needed to go so that they are able to win a medal. That's meekness. Now with every control, every direction of the rider of the horse, that horse follows with all of its power. It can jump. It can run. It can stop. That's meekness. So, dearly beloved, when Christ says, blessed are the meek, meekness here refers to power or strength under control. It's the opposite of power or strength seeking control. Now, Moses was called the meekest man on earth. Numbers chapter 12 verse number 3 tells us that he is the meekest man on earth. Now, how did Moses become the meekest man on earth? I think we find the answer in D.L. Moody's thoughts when he said this: Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. Then he spent the next 40 years learning he was nobody. Then he spent the last 40 years of his life discovering what God can do with a nobody. Now that produced a meek man. What did God do? He broke Moses. God broke Moses this man whom he thought he was somebody. And God led him out of the palace and brought him to the wilderness. He was a prisoner, the pastor. He's a lowly shepherd. And in that wilderness, the breaking didn't stop. Can you imagine that prince in the wilderness taking care of the sheep under the heat of the sun? He must have been thinking all that second 40 years of his life, what am I doing here? For the first 40 years, I was drinking wine. I was eating all of the good food. I was going to the best universities. All of these servants are serving me. I was lying on a really nice bed. At my command, all of these people are following me. And I'm in the wilderness. And what am I doing here? A shepherd? God broke him. God was breaking him until he got so broken, he broke in 1,000 pieces. Then God brought him back together. God took all the pieces. When Moses said, oh Lord, what am I going to do with my life? And God met him there at the burning bush and brought him back to pieces. And God said, I have a task for you. Was Moses so excited? No, he wasn't. Because he was so broken. But God put him back together. That produced a meek man. F.B. Mayer said that Moses, the great lawgiver and leader who could rule a turbulent multitude and face the great king of Egypt, should take the taunts of his brother and sister so quietly, indicates how deep and far-reaching had been the transformation of his character. Now, every follower of Christ, every Christian, every citizen in the kingdom of God had been broken, haven't we? Before God saved us, we're like that wild stallion, weren't we? We want to do our own thing. We want to run there and gallop there and jump there. We were like wild stallions galloping our way, of course, in sin. There's no control. We were reckless and riotous, liars, adulterers, full of wickedness, envious. We're proud. We're arrogant. We're covetous. We're drunkards, ungodly. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We're lustful and greedy and arrogant. We praise self-independence. We were self-made. Right? Wow, I can do this. I did it to myself. I reached the heights of glory because of me, myself. We were like that. We lived according to our way, according to our plan, according to our timing. I am the captain of my soul, we say. We had no regard for God. But at the point of our salvation, remember that day where you met Christ, when somebody told you who you truly are, that you're a sinner, you're in need of salvation, there is no other way for you to come before the Lord but through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. That time, we realized that our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to take this wild stallion and meek it down. Now we realize we need to surrender to His authority, to His power, to His command, to His plan, to His time, to His way. He broke us. And we were never the same again. And now we say, I'm not the captain of my soul. I'm not the master of my fate. God is. So we pray now, Lord Jesus, take control of my life. So that now we find that there is true power, there is true strength in loyalty, in allegiance to Christ. Gone is the wild, untamed, reckless, sinful me. That untamed, reckless, sinful you have been meeked. I have been meeked. In the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses, or chapter 6, I mean, verses 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 11. Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And here's the key phrase, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Dearly beloved, that's what happened to you and me. That's why God said, when you have been meeked, when you have been brought low, when you have been put under the control of God and you surrender to that control of our Lord and Master, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Now, that's the point of our salvation. But dearly beloved, of course, we understand that on a day-to-day basis, this is still something that we are learning to apply in every single aspect of our lives, right? Of course, God is still working in us the perfection of meekness in our daily lives. This is still a part of His sanctifying work. Now, positionally, we have been saved. We have been justified. Okay, before the Lord, we have been accepted. That is sure and binding. Nothing can change that. Look at the words of the Apostle Paul again, but this time in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Romans 5, 6 to 11. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Dearly beloved, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to the Lord because of that. Jesus Christ died for us. We are already saved. Yes, positionally, we are already justified. But practically speaking, of course, every one of us here can testify this morning, "Oh, Pastor, I am not as meek as I should be." Practically speaking, this is still an ongoing work of God in our lives. That's what Paul says, that He who began a good work in you will what? Continue it, will pursue it, will finish it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the aspect of meekness, yes, blessed are you who are meek. You have been saved. You have meeked down. You have been meek like a horse. But God is still working in our lives so that it is applied in every aspect of our everyday life. Now, I'm not saying that we need to attain meekness to be saved. No. I'm not saying that meekness is a qualification for you to be regenerated, for you to be justified, for you to be saved. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying now is, now that you have been regenerated, now you have been saved, now you have been justified, the work of God continues in our lives to effect meekness. So meekness, in that sense, is not the inability to get angry. But it also does not give in to reckless, angry personality. There are people who are just constantly angry. They have every reason to get angry at everything. Oh, the system. Oh, the government. Oh, my employment. Oh, my neighbor. Oh, my driver. Oh, everything. You have a long list of things that you are angry about. Matthew Poole said, "Those who are meek, who can be angry but restrain their wrath in obedience to the will of God and will not be angry unless they can be angry and not sin, nor will easily be provoked by others, but rather use soft words to pacify wrath and give place to the passions of others. Oh, dearly beloved, we need to be gentle, to have positive moral quality of dealing with people in a kind manner, with humility and consideration. It is an aspect of humility manifested in mild, long-suffering, patient character. One author said, persons of a mild, gentle, long-suffering, and forgiving disposition, who are slow to anger and averse from wrath, not easily provoked, and if at any time at all provoked, soon pacified. This is meekness and our sanctification. Oh, dearly beloved, sometimes our meekness is erased when we have been injured, when we have been wounded. It is our reality that people hurt us. And sometimes this pain, this hurt, produces deep wounds in us. They injure our very hearts. We become resentful, and that pain leaves scars in our lives so deep that sometimes we cannot forget the pain. You know, some bad words spoken against us, some hurtful words spoken to us over and over again. Some things done to you unfairly. How you're treated in your employment, in your school, in your family. But clearly, meekness, dearly beloved, is not to mean that you just continually take the hit and never speak out about it. Albert Barnes says, meekness is patience in the reception even of injuries. Even though people hurt you and injure you, it is neither meanness nor a surrender of our rights nor cowardice, but it is the opposition of sudden anger or of malice, of long-harbored vengeance, that is meekness. We've seen Christ insisted on his right. He said, if I have done evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Christ said that. Paul has heard of this, right? He said, they have beaten us openly and condemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now they thrust us out privily, nay, privily, or verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Now, the point of Jesus and Paul were not that they want to passionately assert their right. No. They bore all patiently, dearly beloved. They did not press their rights through thick and thin or trample down the rights of others to secure their own. Meekness in our sanctification is the reception of injuries with a belief that God will vindicate us. Didn't God say in Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Meekness then is proof of true greatness of soul. It comes from a heart too great to be moved by little insults. It looks upon those who offer them with pity. This is how we know we have handled our injuries or wounds with meekness. If you have prayed for those who have hurt you, that is an evidence. And you trust the Lord, Lord, you will do what you must do. And so, dearly beloved, the encouragement is, yes, we are blessed because we are meek. But we must continually grow in meekness. Day to day, we must let the work of the Spirit in us to grow. So that, as Peter Craig said, the root of meekness is submissiveness to God. A trust on God's providence, goodness, and care for me. So that I don't have to fight for my own agenda, nor push to be recognized or assert my priorities. Therefore, meekness is only a reality to those who know and submit to the fact that God is always in control and that God is always good, so that they do not need to fight to regain control or add goodness into their lives. Meekness, dear beloved, is not self-pitying nor self-protecting, but humble self-forgetfulness. And may I remind everyone that this produces peace. So Christ says, blessed are the meek. But Christ also continues with his words, for they shall inherit the earth. Now again, this is not something that is a promise that's lacking of substance. Or this is something that is an unknown thing that will happen. No, this is a sure promise. For they shall inherit the earth. Not the mighty, not the vengeful, not the passionate rights defender will inherit the earth, but Christ says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Here the word earth might have been translated the land. The land. There is a possibility that this refers to any great blessing like the land of Canaan. The promised land. Remember, that was a great blessing to the people of God. He promised that to them. For a long time, the patriarchs looked forward to that promise. They regarded it as a great blessing. Now, Jesus Christ used it in this sense and meant to say not that the meek would own great property, okay, that today you will own a great vast land in Hazelbrook or in Blacksland. No, that's not the meaning here, okay? The meaning here is that great blessings, superior blessings, manifold blessings, godly blessings will be poured out on you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek would possess special blessings such as the earth. Like a Canaan type of a blessing. And this blessing is given by the Lord. So to inherit the earth or the land became therefore an expression denoting those blessings. The language Jesus uses here then is to mean that the meek shall be received into his kingdom and partake of its blessings there and of the glories up there in the heavenly Canaan. So not just earthly blessings, but heavenly ones as well. In other words, the meek, and has been meek like a wild stallion, who is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, is promised all of that and more. Salvation and eternal life. Oh, dearly beloved, as we end this study this morning, we are reminded of our greatest model of meekness. Who is it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Moses was called the meekest man on earth. But Jesus Christ is the meekest man ever. And he is also, of course, we understand God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As we end our study this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse number 1. Now I, Paul says, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Christ was meek in that he submitted to the will of the Heavenly Father. Not once, not twice, not a few times, but all the time. When Jesus calmed the sea in Matthew chapter 8, he certainly was exuding tremendous power. Who can control the wind and the storm? But listen, dearly beloved, he was also still meek because he was doing that under the will of the Heavenly Father. When Jesus confronted the people wanting to stone the adulteress, John chapter 8, he demonstrated tremendous compassion and courage and power with his words, but he was still meek as he was doing the will of his Heavenly Father. When Jesus restrained his outward strength, actually demonstrating great inward strength by being beaten and humiliated and dying on a cross, he was still meek during doing the will of his Heavenly Father. Christ exhibited true meekness and lowliness of heart. And dearly beloved, he is encouraging us today to follow him, to copy him. And he is not oblivious of the struggles we face every day, the battle in our lives of meekness. He knows that meekness is not an easy road because the world and our human nature oppose it. And He knows the wounds and injuries and the scars that we have that produce resentment. He knows the deep struggle of a man, of a woman, like you and I, every day about meekness. But Jesus offers, remember what He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, of me, for I am prayas, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Oh, dearly beloved, that's the challenge for us Christians. But for the unsaved, for those who are not saved yet, they need to come to a point of salvation in Christ, and they need to surrender their will, their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like a stallion, a wild stallion, they need to be meeked. Is that you this morning? Do you need to come into the saving knowledge of Christ and surrender your reckless life and exchanged for a life that is under control in the power of God?